unheardnerd.com.
Radio Mass places a disc.
And now our feature presentation.
January, February, March, April, May, July, August, September. These are the months of the year. June has completely gone, vanished from the calendar. You can't blame us. We are back with our monthly podcast. This is Betamax and Laserdisc, the TV and movie podcast from theunheardnerd.com. I am Will, and with me, as always, is John. How are you doing, John?
I'm good. How are you? Hello, everyone.
I'm okay. I'm all right. We're having a few technical difficulties with this show, but we are now getting there, I think. And John temporarily stormed off the show, but luckily the producers, it was a little bit Top Gear. The producers tried to calm him down. He smacked one in the face, and now we're back.
I've got my hot Cornish pasty. I'm good now.
Excellent. Yeah. Don't make John angry. But give him food when he wants food, and all will be good with the world. So we did miss June, but there was a. I don't feel too bad about it. We had the April show. We had a very late May show, which was like three shows in one, really. And now we're back in July with the podcast. Stuff. Should we start where we normally start? What have you watched since the last show?
I watched Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Oh, right. How was that?
That was very good. Really enjoyed that.
This is a Mark Miller written film, isn't it? And produced, I think. He produces all these films as well.
Yeah, it's another one of his adaptations from one of the comics he's written.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, he did obviously Kick-Ass and Kick-Ass 2, and he's done a few other things. I can't remember. Yeah,
I know he's got several things in development. He seems to be a very popular man at the moment.
Yeah, he has. His Superior is one of them that's I think might be in development either as a film or a TV show.
All right, yeah, there's another one called Chrononauts.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I've read that one. I find that quite entertaining actually. About a big time travel experiment that goes wrong, and one of them ends up abusing. Time travel to live like a king. It's quite funny, actually.
Yeah, right. I don't read all of his stuff. I find some of it, I don't know, a bit like, you know, I wasn't a massive fan of Kick-Ass. I enjoyed it better the second time I watched it, but I'm not a massive fan. And I'm similar with the comics. I read the whole of his MPH series. It was like a mini series of like six comics. Didn't really. Uh-huh. Yeah, I read them all. I bought them all. I didn't really. I wasn't a massive fan. I was kind of waiting for it to get going, and it never really did. But I don't know. I like some of his stuff. I don't like other bits of it. But how was Kingsman? You enjoyed it?
Yeah. The sort of the story of a chav, as we call them here in England, a delinquent, a ne'er-do-well, who gets a chance to sort of join a British Secret Service. And it's funny, it's violent. The only downside I can think about is a technical thing, which is they go to an American church and it's quite clearly filmed in Britain. So it's just it's just like, let's go to this American church. And in the background, there's a British housing estate. And I'm going, what?
Yeah.
Maybe other people won't notice, but I did. It just pulled me out the film for a second, but that's a minor quibble. It's really good.
Anything else? What else have you watched?
The Poltergeist remake.
Oh, right. Oh, God. Horror. It's not our strong point, usually, is it?
No. I do like the original.
Yeah?
From, early 80s, isn't it? 83, 4, something like that.
I feel like I've probably seen it, but I can't remember it.
Well, if you have seen it, then you've seen the remake, because it's literally what it is. It's a remake. It doesn't really. It's almost exactly the same film, just brought forward into the noughts.
Mm.
Technology's updated. You know, they feature, you know, this flat screen TV that goes wrong this time, obviously, and there's iPhones and iPods in there that go wrong.
Yeah.
Apart from that, it's an all right watch. There's only one completely new element to it. So I don't remember in the original, they actually go through to the other side, the other plane of existence, to rescue the little girl.
Right. Yeah.
It
vaguely rings a bell. Yeah. I'm still struggling to picture it. I'm sure if I saw a clip, I'd be back in the zone. But I'm struggling with this one.
But in the new version, they actually show you what's on the other side. They show you this other plane of existence and where the girl's running around, and they try and save her. And that was a nice touch. Yeah. But I think my biggest complaint with the film overall is probably the marketing department. When you market a it's not really a horror film. It's not really that. It's not gory or anything. But the point is, if you're going to market something like that, don't put all of your jump scares in the trailer. Because then you sit there and you go, I know what's going to happen. It's happened. Any more surprises? No, because I've seen them all in the trailer. That's what wound me up the most. I knew it was going to happen, thanks to marketing.
I don't remember really watching any trailers for the new one even. Horror is just so off my radar. It just doesn't even register anything like that. But never mind. In terms of enjoyability, how would you rate it?
I liked it more than I thought I did. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a bad film, but it's just it doesn't add anything new to the original. It's just another remake. Did we need it?
Probably not. Yeah. Anything else? What else have you seen? Any TV?
TV? Oh, blimey, TV.
Yeah, we do TV as well in this podcast, I know. It might be news to you. A little while ago, we changed the format.
Call the producers, I'm walking off again.
Cornish pasty to studio, wherever you are. Have you been watching Humans?
I've watched the first one. We haven't got around to watching any more yet, but I've watched the first one, and we are impressed, the missus and I.
Yeah?
Can't wait to watch the rest of that. We enjoyed what we saw so far.
I'll be honest, I found the first episode a little sketchy. I thought it was enough to keep us, enough to get us back for the second episode.
Yeah.
It didn't really grip me straight off. I'll be honest, when we first watched it, we didn't know if it was an American show or a British show. We had no idea. We hadn't really read any of the hype or, we'd seen the trailers, but hadn't really sort of absorbed it and taken it in. Exactly what to expect. So we weren't sure. So it was obviously, this British program. And it's, I think it's made by the same people and actually stars some of the same people that were in Utopia, which was also shown on Channel 4 here.
Yes, I recognise the, I can't remember his name, but the guy who went around killing everyone
in
from Utopia.
Utopia. Arby was his character.
Arby, that's it. Yeah, I recognised him in Humans.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's in there, but it's got a similar feel to it. It's that sort of, kind of edgy, underground Britishness to it. We've gone back. We watched the second episode. I think the third episode is on this evening as we're recording. Actually, it's probably on right now as we're recording. So I'm sure we'll settle down and watch that at some point this week. But yeah, it's good. I tell you what I'm really impressed with about it is actually the acting of the androids or whatever they're referred to as. What are they actually called? God, I haven't paid enough attention. The synthetic people, especially the ones that are something more than their programming. The acting is phenomenal. They come across very robotic and synthetic, not quite human. But I'm impressed with how well they've managed to maintain that sort of feel and vibe and get that across. Quite clever. So I would recommend to anyone checking out to check out Humans. It's quite entertaining.
A few people on the other side of the pond. I believe that's on the AMC channel.
Yeah, interesting. AMC is actually launching here as well very soon, exclusively to BT Vision.
Oh, really?
Yes. They show what is it? They have. The Walking Dead, for example, is an AMC show, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's a few other fairly big shows as well. So that may be a good thing for British viewers who have BT Vision, of whom I am one.
I say that just reminds me of a bit of news I read a while ago. For those of you who don't know how to use the internet and watch things early, Agent Carter is finally coming to British TV screens.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Fox are going to be showing it.
Oh, okay, but that's on Sky, presumably.
Is it not on BT?
On satellite and cable. I don't believe it is, and I mean, possibly as an extra subscription service. I don't know. I don't know.
British TV, great, fair.
It's just there's so many different things that you like to be able to watch everything. You have to subscribe to so many different things. As we mentioned on previous shows, I've subscribed to Netflix now to watch Daredevil, which I've finished now. Have you got through it yet?
Oh yes, we finished it. Yeah, finished it. Loved it. Screaming for the next one.
Well, this is the thing. My wife and I started watching Homeland as well. We went plough through 3 seasons of Homeland, and that sort of delayed me getting through a lot of other programs like Daredevil. I've only just finished The Flash season 1. I'm literally just before we started recording, I was watching the penultimate episode of Gotham. Still haven't got through that. Yeah. But I'm nearly there, and I really want to get stuck into Last Man on Earth as well, because I've watched 3 episodes of that, and I really enjoyed it this far. So I'd like to try and get stuck into that before, you know, Flash comes back, Gotham comes back, and all these shows start reappearing. So quite a lot to get through.
Speaking of which, I just remembered I did try watching Arrow.
You tried, yeah. How'd you get on?
Mm. I think I gave up about halfway through.
I didn't like the character.
It's also a bit too pretty boy for me. I know he's gritty with a beard and his hoodie on, but it's not for me. Whereas the other half, she's like, oh, he's got a beard, isn't he lovely and sexy? And she's ploughing through season 1. I think she's finished it.
Wow. Okay.
I couldn't do it.
I do wonder if I should try and give it a bit more of a go. You know, I, again, like you, I think I didn't even make it through the first episode, and it just didn't grip me at all. Yeah, I couldn't concentrate on it. I actually found myself not watching it. It's like, well, that's a sure sign not to bother, really. If you can't actually be bothered to watch what's on the screen, there's really no point, is there?
No, I was watching it in bits. Oh, I've got 10 minutes free here, and I watched a bit, and I had 15 minutes free, and I watched a bit more. Mm. And then I just found, you know, there's a voice in the back of my head saying, oh, why don't you finish off the episode of Arrow? And I was going, well, I can't really be bothered.
Yeah.
So
don't want to. Yeah. Fair enough. Well, discuss what I've watched on TV. Been to the cinema a couple of times, actually. Two kids' films, as always. I went and saw Shaun the Sheep, the movie, which is kind of aimed more at the age of my younger daughter, I would say. She's 5. But the eldest one enjoyed it, you know, equally so. And my wife enjoyed it more than anyone. She was absolutely pissing herself for it. But interesting, you know, it is amusing. There's no real dialogue in it, as you might imagine, but there's a lot of pop culture references in there. In one point, there's a scene in sort of a thrift shop, and there's a Back to the Future hoverboard in there, just stood up. There's loads and loads of little bits to keep like the adults entertained. So I would thoroughly recommend it. It's been out in the cinema for quite some time now. It's probably due out on DVD and Blu-ray fairly soon. So it's definitely worth a watch if you've got kids. Probably worth a watch if it's on demand and you haven't got kids. But yeah, if you've got kids as an excuse, that's worth a watch. And I went to see Minions, the Minion movie as well. Have you been to see that yet, John? I know you were going to.
Actually, I'm going to see it in about 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, I won't spoil anything. I mean, you've probably seen the trailers. You know what's going on. The idea behind, the minions are looking for an evil master to serve. You've seen Despicable Me 1 or 2, you kind of know the gist of what the minions are, and it's all very slapstick. My problem with it was, it was just too much minions, basically. Ridiculous to say. In Despicable Me, 1 and 2. They work because they're not the main focus. They're comedy relief. You know,
they're in small doses.
There's a story going on. They're part of it, but they're not the focus of attention. And the comedy really works. It's like, they're a real sort of juxtaposition against everything else that's going on. A whole movie based just on the minions for me was just a little bit too much. That's not to say there isn't a plot that's going on. It takes a long time to get going. A good third of the film is build up, really. But it is amusing. The kids absolutely loved it. They enjoyed it immensely. Again, I think my wife enjoyed it as well. Just for me, I really honestly nearly fell asleep during it. I've not made it through any of the Despicable Me films either. I fall asleep through those as well. So it was always ambitious to try and get through the Minion film. But I almost fell asleep. The only thing that jolted me back to life was we were about halfway up the cinema. And again, it's a multiplex. I don't know why I keep persisting with going to them. I think it just wasn't on a picture house or whatever. And this kid, about 5-6 rows from the front, suddenly pulls out like a tablet and starts playing a game on it. It's like his mum has taken him to the cinema to watch the film. And he's whipped out a tablet and he's playing a game and she said nothing. And it's like no brightness down. It's like full brightness. All I can see is this fucking tablet. Oh, I was just like, boom, head exploded.
Jesus.
Yeah. I ran down there. I jumped in the seats behind him, made him jump. I said, turn that off. Didn't even give him a choice. I wasn't like polite. I just said, turn that off. And they did straight away. Just like turned it off, put it away. The mum looked a bit shocked at me, but, it's just so rude. It's so fucking rude and so stupid. It cost me £35 to take our family to see that film at the cinema.
How?
Yeah. And there was like two or three of them. It's not cost them much less than it's cost me. I don't know. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, yeah, kids really loved it. So if you've got kids, take them along, see it. They'll enjoy it. Lots of British gags in it as well. Nice. I won't spoil it any further.
Okay. I know Universal are hoping to make a lot of money from that film.
I'm sure they will. I mean, yeah, we went to the opening week here in the UK. It's opening later. Yeah. It's not out yet in America, I don't think. So I think it's due out maybe next week, maybe this week or next week in the States. Oh, it will make a ton of money. It will be, you know, people at work, when I went into work after the weekend that we went and saw it, and two other people in the office, there's only five of us in there. Two other people in the office had already been to see it. So, yeah, it will make a butt ton of money. But, so that's that. What else have I seen? Something I saw that was truly, truly dreadful, but probably one of the worst films I've ever seen in my life. A bit of an older film, one I hoped for more from my man crush. It was R.I.P.D.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds and Jeff Bridges. I couldn't tell if it was CGI Jeff Bridges. He had a beard. And a truly dreadful film. Have you seen it?
I have, yes. In 3D.
Oh, my God. 3D at home, I hope.
Didn't see that cinema, no. 3D at home.
Thank God for that. I don't know. Maybe you enjoyed it. I thought it was god-awful. It was a third-rate Men in Black rip-off.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
With there was just the comedy timing was way off. I presumed it was supposed to be a comedy. I was depressed by the end of it. It was that bad. Truly dreadful. And I don't know what Jeff Bridges was thinking with his accent. It just made it tedious.
Oh, Christ. The minute he opened his mouth, it's like, what's he doing? Is he going to do this all the way through the film? Seriously?
The character he's playing, it's like the people who have died, they're in limbo, you know, to sort of find their way to the pearly gates. They are enrolled into the police department that polices the criminal dead, I suppose.
They haven't passed over, have they? They sort of they stay on Earth and just kind of generate hassle. And
that's right.
Yeah.
And Kevin Bacon's in it as well. Awful.
Yeah, I thought he was in it.
A truly awful, awful film. The plot is... I don't even want to talk about it too much. Just don't ever see it. If you haven't seen it, don't ever see it.
It's on 3D Blu-ray for a fiver, but even that's too much.
I just wouldn't bother. I'd probably buy it for a fiver and throw it in a bin. Just save yourself a lot of hassle.
Oh, dear.
Terrible, terrible film. What else did we watch? We watched something else that was awful. we've not had a lot of luck recently. We've got some films, and they've been sucky. I can't remember what the other one was. If I think of it, I'll probably go on a rant about it later on. But I suppose we should move on and sort of. Sorry, go on. You were going to say something.
No, that's all right.
Okay. Well, I guess we should move on and sort of do some news and talk about other stuff that's relevant and things that might be interesting rather than awful, awful films. what have we got lined up this time, John?
Something that caught my eye, it's a bit of a political nature.
Oh, okay.
It does involve TV and films.
No, I saw you tweet at someone earlier that this is a light-hearted podcast, not the South Bank show or whatever it was, not Newsnight or highbrow documentary. Go on, political. Yeah, let's go for it.
Michael at Unused Peter is gonna kill me now. Michael, there's your first. There's your first mention.
First shout out. Yeah. Michael's the new MC Hunter. He seems to have fallen off the planet. I don't know where he is.
That's strange.
Yeah.
Last time his phone broke or something, didn't it? Anyway. They had that in America. They had the nine black churchgoers that were shot in that church.
Oh, Jesus, John, this is deep. What? go on.
Now that's through that. Everyone's now everyone's going, oh, we must get rid of the Confederate flag. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
and the bit that I just think that I think's nuts is there's that guy who owns one of the actual General Lees from the Duke of Hazzard.
Yes.
And he says he's going to paint out the flag on the roof.
He does. Who is he? Can you remember?
I've got the article in front of me. Bubba Watson.
Bubba Watson. He's a golfer. That's right. He's a professional golfer.
Apparently, he brought the car in auction in 2012 for $110,000. And he goes, obviously, I love the show, but the flag is offensive to some people. There's been enough buzz, and I thought it was the right gesture for me to do. So he's going to paint out the flag on the roof.
Do you know, there are people that collect war memorabilia, things with swastikas on, for example. You don't see them melting down German coins from World War II because they've got the fucking swastika on them. Grow up. It's a piece of history. It's a piece of memorabilia. It's retro. If you paint over that, you are basically devaluing it. You're a twat. Stop it. I mean, that's my open letter to Bubba Watson. Just stop it. If you bought the car for a reason, and the reason is it's a piece of history, it's a piece of memorabilia, it's part of your childhood. Exactly. Do not ruin it by painting it out.
Apparently he's afraid to take it out of the garage at the moment in case he gets attacked.
Well, you know what I would have done if I was Bubba Watson? I would have just kept my fucking mouth shut. And let it all blow over, and in a few years' time, go for a spin, and everyone will be going, oh, the General Lee, that is awesome, because it is awesome. On a similar note, somebody on my Twitter feed, one of the sort of a nerdcore rapper guy, Funky49, he noticed that there's a bare naked ladies video where they drive a Dodge Charger, the General Lee. And it's got the numbers on the side, but it doesn't have the Confederate flag on the roof. And that's from years and years ago. I think it might even be that, like that one song they had, One Week or whatever it was. It doesn't have the Confederate flag on it. Bubba Watson, that's what your car will look like. Fucking stupid, because everyone will be going, where's the flag? That's a very distinguishing feature of the car. It's like taking the wheels off. Because you don't want to offend some Stone Age prehistoric man. Come on, grow up.
It'll be slicing down the sides of the door so they open again.
Oh God, it's health and safety. We can't open the doors. Right, let's get the doors orange. Yeah, it's not the right. Let's spray paint it a different colour. Oh,
you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to drive past bushes and then start jumping in the air.
Now I will.
In case you land on people.
Exactly. And whatever you do, don't take your hot sister in the car with really short shorts on. Because that's sexist. I suppose they'll be re-editing the Dukes of Hazzard now to make sure that Daisy Duke is wearing long shorts.
I can't remember the channel. I've lost the article now. The channel that was showing Dukes of Hazzard has taken it off the air.
Do you know what? Taking a step back and looking at this, because we're not in America, it doesn't really affect us emotionally or politically in the same way that it would somebody in America. I can see how the Confederate flag can be perceived as something, you know, distasteful from history. It's the connotations of slavery, and, you know, the Civil War. Mm. Yeah, I can see, you know, it's like somebody you know, saying, you know, it's like, I'm wearing a, you know, wearing a swastika or something. It's not appropriate. It does stir up all the wrong feelings. But, you know, I go back to my point. It's like that car is an iconic piece of history. It's not, you know, there was never any, I mean, as far as I never took any meaning that when I was watching the Dukes of Hazzard that they were pro-slavery. It never really hit the agenda for me. Admittedly, I was only like 7 or 8 when it was on TV. But I never once thought, you know what would be cool? If we had some slaves. I think it's just political correctness gone mad. That's what it is.
Why try and censor history? It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. It makes me a bit cross, that kind of thing. Speaking of
sort of Saturday afternoon tea time shows from when we were kids, Chips is coming back as a film.
I know. This is
for those of you who don't know what Chips is, it's actually sort of a big C, big H, small I, big P, and it's a Californian Highway Patrol. It's a story of two police motorcycle cops and their sort of general adventures every week and whatever they got up to. It turns out it's coming back as a major motion picture.
I can only ever remember one of their names. It was Poncherelli or Poncherello.
Everyone would presume. Frank Ponch, in quotes, Poncherello.
And the other guy.
and the other guy, the white guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, the reason I bring this up is there's... a really weird is apparently the film's officially been greenlit, and they had an interview with one of the actors who's already gone into training and he's like learning to ride motorbikes and that. He says it's gonna be a bit like Lethal Weapon, and then they're aiming for an R rating.
I know, it's so like,
what
far removed from what Chips was. I don't remember them swearing much or you know, beating people to death.
Family friendly. Let's swear up a bit.
Chips was pretty cool though. I remember watching that as a kid, and had a really funky theme tune. My wife and I, a couple of nights ago, we sat on YouTube and watched all the old sort of Saturday afternoon TV program intros. I don't know where it came from, but randomly, my wife brought up Airwolf. She said, "Do you remember Airwolf?" I was like, "Yeah, do I?"
Four seasons.
And we watched the Airwolf intro, and then we watched Street Hawk because she didn't really remember Street Hawk, but until we watched it, and then we watched the Fall Guy.
Street Hawk was actually cancelled.
Street Hawk was amazing.
I know, it's amazing. I used to love it. I remember Street Hawk's only got 13 episodes. It's cancelled mid-season.
It's one of those things like Battlestar Galactica. It wasn't around that long, but it felt like a lot longer.
You remember loads and loads of them.
Yeah. We watched The Fall Guy. We watched obviously Knight Rider and the A-Team. I mean, you know, yeah, fantastic. Good times. Good times to be good a stuff. Kid and watching TV. They just don't seem to make that sort of thing anymore. I don't know.
No, definitely not.
Maybe they do. Maybe I'm just not tuned into it. But they're all pretty much the same thing. It's like someone who fights bad guys has a cool car or vehicle. Much the same concept.
Yeah, there's a whole slew of sort of in quotes super vehicle things at the time, wasn't there? I mean, do you remember something called The Highwaymen?
No, I don't actually, no.
I remember it used to be on ITV at like 1 or 2 in the morning or something, and I never saw one, but he had this great big articulated truck.
Oh right.
Where sort of the lower half of the cab, I don't think it's the wheels of it. Where did it come from? Did it come from the trailer? Can't remember. He had a sports car anyway. I think that come from like he used to lower down on a ramp underneath the trailer, I think.
Oh wow!
But the front of the cab was sort of like, how to describe it without giving it away, was mostly glass. But it's sort of a domish shape. And it turns out the cab of the truck was actually a helicopter.
Oh wow! Of course.
So the sides of the truck fall away, and the rotor blades come up and fold out, and you could fly off in a helicopter. And that's kind of a bit sort of Mad Maxian, sort of set in the far future.
That's like all these programs put into one, like a lorry with a car that comes out. That's a helicopter. it's like everything all in one. That's amazing. I've never seen that.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. I don't know how long it lasted. They probably went, oh, we've had to cancel it. Why? Well, we spent so much money building the fucking truck.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder's been speaking about Batman v Superman.
I saw.
It's just that some people have been asking him about, how do you feel about the end of Man of Steel with all that destruction? And he basically said, he goes, well, I was surprised because that's the thesis of Superman for me, that you can't just have superheroes knock around and have there be no consequences. And it turns out that one of the sort of carryovers into Batman v Superman is that Bruce Wayne is actually a bit pissed off about all the destruction that happened. He's not too happy, especially as it's not sort of shown outright, but one of the buildings that gets damaged is apparently the Wayne building.
Well, it makes sense. I don't think they could have not addressed the total carnage that occurred in Man of Steel. And I think it makes sense to sort of make it part of the story. And it could, like I said, I'm sure I said when we talked about Man of Steel, it's like the development of a superhero. It's like he's new to this. That was his first fight as a superhero, you know? Yeah. So like, he's got to develop and grow. I did see that. I didn't get around to reading it. That's interesting.
And I think it's the end of the film, the big fight between Batman and Superman is going to end up, was it sort of nighttime, rainy nighttime battle for the grittiness and moodiness? And
makes sense.
it probably look a lot better than I make it sound.
I'm sure.
And he's also, it's quite interesting, Zack Snyder also revealed sort of the one sentence that led to the making of Batman v Superman. Apparently he was just near the end of Man of Steel. He sort of talked to the producers and went, hey, what if we had someone turn up at Wayne Manor with a crate of kryptonite? and all the producers sort of went, okay. And then obviously from that point on, they figured out they could do a Batman v Superman movie.
Yeah, it's strange. And again, we've addressed it, but it's like, What was going to be a Man of Steel sequel turned into this like mini Justice League film, and it feels like we've worried a bit that it feels like they're making it up as they go along a little bit with the DC cinematic universe, but I think the fact that they pushed the release date back for this film a year sort of indicates that they're taking a bit of time to plan it out, and I still hold high hopes. I mean, I like the images that came out from Entertainment Weekly last week. Yeah. I still think the Batman, Ben Affleck looks amazing as Batman. He just looks so like a massive, so buff, like just.
He looks
just,
huge, doesn't he?
It really does, and the outfit really it works for me. I really like it. The Superman outfit, I was never that keen on the thing around the back, but the rest of it works for me. And I even think Gal Gadot looks pretty good as Wonder Woman. I'm not offended by her not being this huge Amazonian woman. I think she looks great.
I'm still undecided on Wonder Woman. I think I have to see that in action. But I think what's put me off is that the Entertainment Weekly cover, where they're all sort of, it's obviously a Photoshop collage, but they're all sort of brightly lit, aren't they?
They are.
I'd rather see. I mean, what I see of the Batman image, I think I'd like to see some more shots of him sort of in the relevant lighting, rather than here's Batman under a spotlight. It's just like. Doesn't can you make him a bit more moodier, please?
I wonder if they're sort of just teasing a bit, because there's been all this talk about the colouring and the graining and it's always very desaturated. And I wonder if they're just teasing a bit by putting these images out that are quite brightly lit and just gauging response and seeing how they go with that. But I don't know.
We've got Comic Con in a few weeks, haven't we? At the time of recording, so I know that. The Batman Superman panel is going to be one of the big ones.
I would expect so. I don't think Marvel are there this year, are they?
No, Marvel has said we've not really got anything to promote, so we're not going to bother.
We've only got 15 films coming out in the next 4 years. There's just nothing to talk about.
Well, the thing is, they've got nothing. They're coming out sort of close, have they? I mean, Captain America, Civil Soldier. No.
Civil War.
Who's that? That's a new Captain America. Was it Civil War? Sorry.
Yeah.
Captain America Civil War is about halfway through its shoot at the moment. And
yeah.
I can't remember what the next one's in during production is. But so they've got nothing. Everything's too early to show for them. There's someone else who's dropped out as well. Is it Sony?
I don't know. I haven't seen that.
A couple of other big studios have gone, well, it's either two things. One, they've got nothing to show. Mm. Or two, they sort of finally cottoned on to the fact that just because a hall full of nerds like it, it doesn't mean everyone else will.
Yeah, good point.
Because they've shown things at Comic Cons, and everyone in the Hall H, isn't it, the big one, I think?
Yeah.
All the nerds go mad. They're like, yeah, it's brilliant. And the execs think, oh, this is going to make loads of money for us. And then it comes out, and all the nerds go and see it, but obviously that's not enough money. And they go, shit, what happened there? I thought everyone was going to love this. So yeah, a lot of studios are just not bothering this year.
Yeah, interesting. But I mean, yeah, it is a Comic Con, not necessarily a movie con. So I'm sure there'll be plenty for people to enjoy. Anyway,
oh, there's still gonna be loads of stuff.
Yeah, Ant-Man is out this month. You gonna go and see that?
Yep.
I'd
like to.
Absolutely zero hesitation there. It's grown on me a lot. I'm still a little bit wary about the special effects, you know, for the shrinking. But what I've seen in trailers and teasers has got my excitement up a little bit. I still don't think it's going to be like a massive Avengers type thing. I still think it's more along the lines of Iron Man. And I think I saw somebody else say that, somebody from Marvel say that as well. I think he said it's his favourite film since Iron Man.
That was James Gunn, director of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, exactly. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy was brilliant, but I guess he's being modest. it does look interesting. It looks like it's certainly got a comedy element to it. It's going to be a bit more lighthearted. I think I'll try and schedule in a trip to the cinema to see it.
I'd just like to say thank you to joblow.com for ruining a cameo from the film.
I thought you were going to bring that up.
Thanks, guys. That's really bugged me.
Do you want to say who it is? I don't think he's a massive character. You're just going to just hang that in there. Like, if you want to see it, you know, go to joblow.com on YouTube.
I mean, obviously I've got a YouTube subscription list like most people do. And it's a 30-second Spanish language TV spot for 30 seconds. And not only have they used the thumbnail for the video, it's like the half-second shot of the character that's in the film. Is it? Well, it's only in the trailer for half a second. But the description says, like, foreign TV spot featuring this person. It's like, why not just show me the whole film? Go on, just show me the whole film where you're at it. Just, I give up.
I'll be honest, it didn't offend me that much. I think there's probably some bigger cameos in there. I think this is a smaller character from the universe. I don't think it's... I don't know. It didn't offend me as much as it obviously it offended you. I saw your comment on Twitter and it made me laugh because I'd just watched it myself. And yeah.
I thought, once I saw the name, I thought, oh, fuck it, might as well watch the trailer. I don't know why. I think I stopped watching after the second trailer because I thought, I don't want to see anymore. I want to let this one be a few more surprises.
I don't watch any of the TV spots. The TV spots give too much away, I think. They're actually sort of scenes from the film. Are trailers. Yeah, they're cut up. Then the responses are not necessarily the response to the actual piece of film you're seeing. Yeah, it can be. Yeah, the trailers I watch, the TV spots I don't bother with.
Thinking about it, it's most Marvel films, isn't it? There just seems to be relentless amounts of TV spots and extra trailers.
Yeah.
Right near the release. It's like, stop it, I don't want to see them. Go away.
And yet, usually, I still enjoy the film, so I wouldn't worry. Wouldn't worry too much. What else have we got, John?
In shitting on our new good news, Robert Zemeckis, director of Back to the Future, says they can't make a remake while he's still alive or dead, hopefully, actually.
Yes, well, this is good news, and again, this is fairly new, isn't it? It's only the last couple of days this has broken. I have really hope he stands firm, and I just hope they don't. I mean, it's one film. One film, just leave it as it is because it's brilliant. It's just brilliant. It's a great trilogy as it is. Don't spoil it. They don't need to remake everything. You know, there's so many things, you know, as we say over and over and over again. It's refreshing to hear that, you know, there's this guy standing firm. They're not going to be able to make that film again at the moment anyway. So that's good news.
No, what's it? Yes, it's, I think he's written to the contract, him and the producer, Bob Gale. He says, as long as they're still alive, there will be no remake. He said, hopefully, once he's passed, hopefully his estate will keep up that opinion as well.
Yeah, well, let's hope so.
Leave it alone.
Kind of feel like starting a petition to make sure that happens. Yeah, you know, like petitioning the estate to ensure that that happens. I reckon you'd easily get, you know, 10,000 signatures on that.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
easy. But anyway, yeah, that's good news. Good news indeed. Talking of remakes and reboots, like, it's probably on your list. We've seen some of the Ghostbusters uniforms and the I've forgotten the name of it, the pack. What's it called?
The Proton Pack.
Proton Pack, that's the one. What are your views on that?
Well, this leads me into another mention for Mike, Unused Pizza. Hello, Mike. Another mention. It's two in one show.
I'm actually going to start beeping out his name at this show. So every time you hear a beep, it will just be, so that's who we're talking about.
Okay. He asked, because he did actually send in two questions. The first one referring to that highbrow documentary type question. Well, we mentioned earlier.
I thought it was a decent enough question, actually. But, maybe for another day.
We'll save that for the next one because we're running short of time.
Yeah.
He actually said, what are your hopes and fears for the Ghostbusters reboot?
My hopes are that it goes wildly over budget. It never gets finished and never a season like that. My fears are that won't happen. No, that's a pure comedy. That's a pure comedy answer. My hopes are that they stay true to the concept and the originality of the Ghostbusters we know and love. It's difficult to explain. I hope they just don't go too far off the track with it. You know, sort of keep to the principles and the source material. Not exactly. It's got to be a different film, but just don't devalue the franchise. That's my response to that, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've not made up my mind on the proton packs yet.
They look fine to me. They're different, obviously, but they look okay.
They almost look steampunk, actually, I thought.
A little bit, yeah. And the uniforms as well, I don't know. They could have just kept them plain grey for me without the orange detailing.
Yeah, not a big fan of the stripes on them.
But I think the true test of these films will be, or this film will be, the ghosts or demons or whatever they're actually fighting. You know, so that's a big part of this film.
Will there be two comedic ghosts, or will they actually be, you know, something with a bit of bite, something to actually fight back?
You think how original the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man was as a villain in a film. I mean, just you could never have seen that coming. It just so original. to be able to replicate that originality is going to be really difficult. And that I think the success of those films, A, hinges on the comedy value. You know, I don't want to sound sexist, but can a female-led film provide the laughs that, you know, we expect from it? And will the villain of the film, for want of a better description, live up to those, you know, that sort of benchmark? It's going to be difficult.
I don't suppose we'll see the first trailer till what, the end of the year, I suppose, at the earliest.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we might see a little sneaky peek at Comic-Con, but I don't know. I don't know, it might be too early. I mean, it is in production, but I don't know. Sometimes they put together a special little thing. You know, it would be a good opportunity. Build. Yeah, it would be a good opportunity for them to do that and try and get people on board. So we'll see. We'll see. Hold our breath on that.
Yeah.
So I hope that answers the question. If anybody else has questions that they want us to address on the show, I mean, by all means, tweet us, email us. You can find me, it's at The Unheard Nerd on Twitter. You can find John, it's at UK Film Nerd. You can email us, it's at, what is it? It's TheUnheardNerd at gmail.com. Facebook as well, you can get us, it's facebook.com/TheUnheardNerd. And if you go to the website, scroll all the way to the bottom past the huge adverts that I've just put there that might be gone by the time you get there. you can click on the contact page, and I should probably make that more prominent. I'm just sort of reworking the website at the minute, because John didn't like the other website I came up with, so we're not developing the new website just yet. I'm just playing with the one we've got at the moment. So drawing back the curtain there, letting people see the inner turmoil that is the untethernerd.com.
Give me another pastine, you can do what you like.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. We're looking at the next stage of the website, and we've got a slight difference of opinion. John wants it very, very clean and minimal. I was looking at something a little bit more complicated, but we'll find a common ground at some point, I'm sure. This has nothing to do with films, though, so or TV, unless they make a documentary about it. I'll tell you what, I did watch a documentary recently. That was on Channel 4, again, here in the UK. Was it called Behind the Brick or something? It was a Lego documentary.
The Secret Life of Lego.
That's the one. It's nothing like what I said. Did you watch it?
Hell yes.
Fascinating, wasn't it? It was really good.
Absolutely brilliant.
Goes behind sort of the secrecy that is the world of Lego and the company that it is, how people strive and struggle to become creators. Their dream job is to make Lego sets. Fascinating that there's this story about a container falling off of a ship off the coast of Cornwall of Lego, and people go to the coast and actually try and find bits of Lego that have been washed up from this container. What happens to the bricks that they start using the machine that was one color and they start using it for another color, and you get multicolored bricks and they dispose of them. They'd be worth a fortune on eBay, so they're very like vigilant and make sure that they don't get out to the public. It's really, really fascinating stuff, and a show really aimed at adults as well. Great show. I think it's a series, a mini series. I'm not sure. It might have just been one.
I think it's just the one off.
Was it just a one off? I thought I read it was a series, but if not, well worth checking out.
There's the secrecy aspect surprised me. I never realised how secretive they were.
Yeah, they were started filming outside of one of their buildings, and they got spotted, and they have these like shutters that just closed on the front of the office. It's like you're not allowed to look in case you see something. They were doing that. They had that meeting. Total spoilers. I mean, you pretty much don't have to watch it now, but. They had this meeting where they were talking about a product fault and how they were going to fix it. And the guy was just got to the end of their meeting. The guy was like, "Was that was staged, wasn't it? You were reenacting a meet." They're like, they had that meeting about 2 years ago, and they were reenacting it because they couldn't talk about anything that's relevant now because it's products that are going to be actually on the market in 2 years' time.
I know.
Amazing and crazy, but fantastic to watch. So I definitely recommend that one. Anyway, that was a bit of an aside. What should we go on to next, John?
Let's have a tiny bit of weird, bizarre, random. Hello Kitty's getting a movie. There you go.
Good. Okay. Right. Have you ever watched Hello Kitty?
I didn't realise it was a series. I just thought it was just like an icon that people had on bags and clothing. And is it an actual series?
It's a suicide-inducing series, yes. I stupidly bought a DVD of it for my kids,
and
it's Japanese, so it's dubbed into English. American, sugary sweet American accent, and to make the words fit the mouth movements, it's all like at hyper speed, and it's random and bizarre, weird stuff that goes on. It's trippy. Don't watch it. It does your head in. It, almost as much as Dora the Explorer. I mean, at least Dora the Explorer has an educational element to it, as in you can learn a bit of Spanish. Hello Kitty just does your head in. I mean, oh God, I'm depressed to find out there's going to be a movie, and I'm hoping that it comes out after my kids have grown up a bit.
2019, I think, is the plan.
Well, hopefully they'll have grown out of it by then. Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Oh dear.
Okay, so that's depressing news to end the show on, but the good news is we'll be back next month with another show, won't we, John?
We will indeed, yes.
We'll have a steady supply of Cornish pasties shipped to John wherever he is in the country. He's rarely in the same place twice. Where were you this time?
I'm just outside Rotherham.
Rotherham. Rotherham. Where the hell is Rotherham?
Pass. I don't know myself, and I'm here.
up north.
Sort of southeast of Leeds, south of York.
I thought it was near Yorkshire somewhere, yeah. Okay, well, there we go. Fascinating. We start where we first started this podcast as the TV, or was it? No, just the movie podcast.
Yeah.
It was always intended to be a feature. It's like, where in the world this week? Because you're in a different place literally every week. People probably don't realise that. Your job just takes you to every different part of the country. And we rarely record from the same, you're rarely in the same location twice. So it's quite fascinating. And yeah, it still doesn't make up for the fact there's going to be a Hello Kitty movie. But there we go. So on that note.
I won't give any more depressing enders.
What I will just say is do check out our other podcasts on the podcast channel. We've now got the Impossible Gaming podcast. Have you listened to any of that, John?
Not yet.
Well, yeah, it's entertaining. It's a very different beast. They were similar sort of, instead of what have you watched since last time, they do what have you played since last time, ahead of the show. So it's Chadley and Tristan that do the increasingly popular Impossible Gaming YouTube show that we have via the website, which is now getting over 1,000 hits per episode, which is great.
Wow.
It's growing. The subscriptions keep coming in. So that's fantastic. We've got the mixtape, which is the music one that does well. I'm just lining up a new run of interviews for the nerdcore side of things as well. Got some fantastic guests coming up on that. So if you like the channel, if you like the shows that we're producing, please do subscribe. It makes a hell of a difference. If you subscribe, as soon as we drop a show, suddenly there's a lot of downloads. It's only going to boost us up the rankings in iTunes and gain us more exposure. So if you like the show, subscribe on iTunes. If you've got it in your heart to say, leave a review, please do that. It takes us literally hours to make these shows. It'll take you 5 minutes to leave a review. It means an awful lot to us. And also, if you like the shows, share them via social media. Share them on Twitter, share them on Facebook and Google+ if you hate us. So pretty much it. John, thank you very much. Until next time, enjoy whatever TVs and movies you're watching. For the unheardnerd.com, I've been Will, that's been John. See ya.
Bye bye.
The unheardnerd.com.